Oh, Father God, we are so thankful, Lord, for the life, for the breath, for the energy that you put into us. That God, that we are nothing without you, that Lord, apart from the vine, Lord, we can do nothing. And God, I pray that today, Lord, this praise that comes from our lips, Lord, would sink from our heart. And Lord, that it would motivate our life. That God, that it would go beyond just external actions, but Lord, that it would come from an inside out and a love and a praise for you. And Lord, I pray that today it would be bigger. Today that we would love you more. That we would listen to you more. That we would trust you more. That we would have more faith in you. Because you are so good to us. And we'll give you all that praise. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. As you're being seated, our kids are going to be dismissed for Kids Connect. If you'll meet Ainsley up front here. And we'll head back to the Kids Connect time for them as you have a time in God's Word. For us here, let's take our Bibles this morning to the book of Ephesians as we get back into our study of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to finish up chapter 1 this morning. As we look at this great text, I tell you, there's so much doctrine that's in Ephesians chapter 1. It's hard to slow down through it, or hard not to just slow down and work through it. But this morning we want to finish out the first chapter, because it's another prayer that we see Paul here praying for this church of Ephesians, and you get to see a lot of his heart for them. And so this morning, that's why our sermon's entitled A Prayer for the Church. It's an opportunity for us to see Paul's heart here, but something that was on his heart for the people. And some truths I hope that we can take from this passage this morning. So take your Bibles there with me, Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to be reading from verse 15 on down. Verses 15 on through verse 23. It says, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet, and he gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." It was dubbed the greatest play in my high school's history. It was 1993, November of 1993. I was in about the eighth grade at that time, and I was sitting in the stands, and we were in the state playoffs. We were one game away from the state championship. And we were playing, my high school was Lake Wales High School, home of the Fighting Highlanders. And we were playing a team from Belgrade, Florida, down by Miami. And this team had two future NFL all pros on it. One was a wide receiver, one was the running back. This team was highly touted. We were given no chance. And at the beginning of the game, it looked that way. They went into halftime 35-14. We were down. But as the game wore on, the defense picked up, and we fought back in the stands. We were going crazy. All this excitement, all this was going on. And our high school football team was known for running the ball. We had a lot of really fast running backs, and so we were known for running the ball a lot. And so we were making our way, and all this is happening, and then all of a sudden there was a turnover, and we had the opportunity to take the lead. It was 35-34. And so we're driving down the field. There was a face mask penalty. It puts us, we were on about the 40-yard line, waiting to go in for the end zone. The time is running out. And all of a sudden the play comes in, the play's called, and everybody knows it's going to be a run, and everybody knows that we've been working this run and play, and it's been working, so, you know, stick to it, right? The quarterback takes the ball from center, he steps back to throw it. And then all of a sudden he just lets it go deep. And there, running past all of the defenders, is the one guy, as it had sunk them all in. They were worried about the run. And here he went deep, over the top. He catches the ball right as he was crossing the end zone, the goal line. 40-35. And we won the game, advanced to the state championship. Known as the greatest play because they went deep. You know, if you watch sports and you watch football, you know that deep pass is always so exciting. Because when that ball is in the air, there, you know that you are going to gain a big chunk. And, you know, there is an opportunity for something big to happen when you go deep. And if you were unlike the Cowboys, you might be able to complete it. I'm with you. I do that as a hurting fan, okay? But as you do that, the big play can happen when you go deep. This morning, as we look at this prayer from Paul to the Ephesians, it has this kind of mentality of go deep, win big. Go deep, win big. You know, we can dink and dunk all day, and we can do a little bit here and a little bit there all day, and get a little bit here and get a little bit there and make these advances. But Paul is saying, no, I want you to go deep. I want you to get deep, and I want you to see this morning the benefits of that mentality of how to go deep. Because there is something that Paul prays for in this prayer for this group, for this Ephesians that I believe is speaking to us too today, that he wants something to grow inside of them, and that is a knowledge of him. Go big. Go deep. Win big. So as we look at this, I want you to see three things about going deep here. Notice first off, we need to celebrate faith in Christ. Celebrate faith in Christ. Verse 15, for this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. You know, Paul had this wonderful way of writing to these churches and these people that, you know, he pastored, he helped these churches get started, he had this connection. And I love this fact, when there is something in his life that he says, I do not cease to remember to give thanks for you. That's somebody that's made an impact on your life. That's somebody that is meaningful to you. And here you see, why is that? Because he's celebrating their faith in the Lord Jesus. He's saying, you have come to know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You had faith. You believed in Jesus Christ and what he has done for you. And because you believed in Jesus Christ, notice what happens of that. And your love toward all the saints. Isn't that amazing? That when Jesus changed your heart, there's something that comes out, right? It's love. And this word love here is that agape love. It's that sacrificial love. It's the love in which Christ is displayed upon the cross for us, that he took our place. He says you have that agape love towards all the saints, this sacrificial love. Paul has heard of their faith in Jesus Christ. Listen, when you're a Christian and when you know Jesus Christ and there is something that has happened in your life because of the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, I think people should hear about it from you. It should be heard. It should be visible. It should be seen in your life. He's saying, I have heard of your faith, that there is something different about you. I guarantee you a lot more people would want to know who your Jesus is if you acted like he changed your life. Heard their faith. Because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints. He is celebrating their faith. Maybe we need to celebrate the right things in Jesus Christ. We need to celebrate the salvations. We need to celebrate those that put their faith in Jesus Christ. We need to celebrate when someone during a week is going through a trial and they don't lose faith and they don't lose hope and they continue to trust in the Lord Jesus, that we celebrate that around them. That we celebrate those that when they get that bad diagnosis, that they're able to say, you know what, it's not why me, it's why not me. And here I have an opportunity to glorify God through this diagnosis. I have an opportunity to trust in Him. We can celebrate that faith in Jesus Christ. Celebrate that opportunity and show those that love to all the saints. Paul is giving thanks for this. Going deep starts with having that faith in Jesus Christ. And knowing Him. And you know what? This comes right on the tails of Paul when he's giving that big blessing and the as he is giving all, outpouring all that about God. And he said, listen, this is God that you have been adopted by as well. That you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. We as believers should be there for one another and we should be celebrating one another. Have you ever heard the testimony of how God has brought one of your other family members here to the Lord? There's nothing more encouraging to hear how God has worked in different lives. Some of you have grown up in church your whole life. You came to know Christ at an early age and you got to walk with the Lord through that. Some of you came to know Christ in your 30s when God was getting a hold of you. For some, you're going to see God continue to work in your life, and we have the opportunity to bring that together and to celebrate God and what He's doing in each of our lives together. Paul is celebrating their faith in Christ. And then secondly, notice now what he then prays for. He celebrates their faith in Christ, and then he wants to see them enlarge the knowledge of Christ. Notice verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His great might. So here now is a petition, part of his prayer. Here's something that he is requesting God to do on behalf of the Ephesians, and he's requesting this that they do in their lives, and that is to enlarge the knowledge of Christ. Because notice what he said, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation. Now who is that? It's the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 16, Jesus tells his apostles, he says, listen, I'm going to go away. You want me to go away because when I go away, the Father is going to send the Spirit of Truth to you. Not only is he called the Spirit of Truth, he's called the Comforter. John 14:26 tells us, but the Lord shall send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, whom the Father will send in my name, who shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. So when he's praying here that the God of Father give you the may give you the spirit of wisdom, it's not that you have to come here today to get an extra helping of the Holy Spirit. Because when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. You are baptized by the Spirit at that moment of conversion. There is no more time where you're going to get any more of the Spirit. You've got the Spirit. The question is, are you listening? Are you following? When he's tugging at your heart, when he is telling you, listen, you know, maybe you need to go a different direction. Hey, don't do this. You ever got that feeling? There's something wrong here. The Lord showed Elijah, it's that still small voice that many times we take the volume knob and turn it down. Paul's saying, I want you to enlarge it. You need to turn up and tune up the Holy Spirit in your life, because He will give you this wisdom. He will give you this knowledge. I want to give you this knowledge, and I want you not only to that, I want you to grow in this. You know, there's a word here that He uses when He says there at the end of verse 17, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The word here for knowledge is the Greek word epigenosis. Gnosis is really the root word for knowledge, and he tags on here a preposition epi, and it gives us the idea of a more intimate knowledge. Folks, you can sit here right now this morning and have facts about Jesus Christ, but not have an intimate knowledge of Him. You can sit here and play the part of being a Christian and have some facts, but not have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Paul says, put that aside. I want you to have an intimate knowledge with Jesus Christ. Because I tell you, just having some facts of Jesus Christ is not going to get it through whenever your week goes south, and you need that strong tie and that strong relationship with Jesus Christ. When you need that intimacy with Him. He's saying, I want you to enlarge this knowledge. I want you to have an intimate knowledge, having the eyes of your heart enlightened. Not just your physical eyes. I want the eyes of your heart. I want the eyes of your insides. I want the eyes of your very seat of emotions, your very seat of understanding, the very seat of your life, this heart. I want you to have that enlightened so that you will have an intimate love relationship with the Lord. There are many people that you might have facts about, that you might know in a certain way. You might know historical figures. We might know who Donald Trump is. We might have facts about Donald Trump, but we do not know him as a friend. And many times we as Christians think we can skate by on just having some facts about Jesus when we haven't let him in the heart. To have an intimate knowledge of Him. So what does that intimate knowledge do? Notice what Paul prays that they may learn in this intimate knowledge. All right, three things. First, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you. I want you to have hope. I want you to have hope in knowing why He has called you, and this hope of what He is doing in your life. And we've talked about this many times. I hope now when you see the word hope in the New Testament, you understand this isn't wishful thinking. This is an expectant thinking. This idea of hope in the New Testament mind that we should apply today isn't just, well, you know what, I'm going to hope that Jesus has something good for me today, you know. I hope so. I hope it rains this week. Got my shoelaces. Well, I don't have shoelaces on. And too many times we as Christians apply that hope when it's really, no, I have a hope. I have an expectation in Jesus Christ because of who He is and His calling and because of what He's done for us. He's saying, I want you to have a hope from what He has called you. He's saying, I want you to remember back to all those spiritual blessings that I just talked about in that first opening praise. That He has adopted you as sons. That He has called you His own. That He has lavished grace upon you. You have a hope in Jesus Christ, and there's an expectation that someday He's going to come get you. And we can live in that hope. And I tell you, folks, it makes all the difference in the world. I've seen it. Especially when we come to the end of the life of a saint. And I've seen the grace and the mercy in their lives when there's a peaceful transition from this home to that one. Because there's a hope that He has called us with. He said, I want you to grow in that hope. Not only that, I want you to grow in the riches of His glorious inheritance. Oh, we could spend the rest of the time just filling this up. The riches of His glorious inheritance of all that God has got for us and in store for us. But you know who God's inheritance is? Those that know Him as Savior. You know what's of value to God? You. You are His inheritance. and we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And because of that, there is power and there's riches in it. It says, I want you to know the riches of the inheritance and then the power. Now, Paul really starts to ramp it up here in verse 19. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe? He uses several words, the immeasurable greatness, power. The word here he uses for power in verse 19, it kind of describes the potential power that something might have. And then he goes on and says, according to the working of his great might, that working is the effectual power. The potential power has now been put to work and it's now effecting, it's working his great might. Paul says, I want you to enlarge your knowledge of Christ by enlarging this knowledge of the power of God, because you're going to need it on those days when you feel powerless. Those are the days that you can say, you took my place. You are my power. That you could say with Paul that though I am weak, yet I am strong because his grace is sufficient for me. And you can understand the immeasurable greatness of his power. And when the people look on you and think, you know what, you're having the worst week ever and you still have a smile on your face. Yeah, because I got power. I got power in Jesus Christ. Paul says, I want you to get to know that better. And you know what, when you get to know that better, it has a way of combating the devilish devices. 1 John 2:15 and 16 tells us, love not the world, neither the things are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, those are the devilish devices. They're not of the Father, but they are of the world. Guess what combats against that? When we know the hope of which he's called us. When we know the riches of his inheritance. And when we know the immeasurable greatness of his power. Go deep. Enlarge the knowledge of Christ. I don't care how long you have been in a relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't care how long that you have known him. I don't care how long you've been in church or how long you have gone through motions. We all can grow in Jesus Christ. There is not a point where you're going to get to say, well, you know what? I think I know all there is about Jesus Christ. You will find that each and every day you're going to find something new. That each and every day he's going to present himself. I love the words in John 14:21 that if you love me, you'll obey my voice and I will reveal myself to you. He'll keep pulling back the curtains, folks. And he'll keep letting you see more and more of how good he is. And that's why when we grow in that maturity, you know what? It sinks our faith into him. We need to come to him new every day and realize that we have so much more still to learn. I got a call yesterday from one of our youth. I'm not going to mention any names to embarrass her. But she was all excited because she had been watching this show on Netflix. This really brand new show that they had never thought of before called Hawaii 5-0. That it really confused her when I said, book 'em, Dano. What was that? And she'd watched all the seasons that Netflix had to offer. But then, yesterday, all of a sudden, Netflix added a whole new season. And there was excitement again. There's more show to discover. And Maddie, I'm sorry, and she was so happy about it. Can I tell you, there's always a new episode. There's always something that we can enlarge our knowledge of Jesus Christ in. The problem is of us getting too jaded and too apathetic to stop growing. But he wants us to continue to enlarge. I want you to have the eyes of your hearts enlightened that you might know. And then, after we enlarge the knowledge of Christ, then thirdly, employ the power of Christ. according to the working of His great might that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. He put all things under His feet and gave Him as the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Put the power of Christ to work. And here He gives us what that power is. Because notice what He does. That He worked in Christ. What? When He raised Him from the dead. That right there separates Him into a whole different class. When He raised Him from the dead, the power of God through Jesus Christ to raise Christ from the dead, to say that payment was effectual. The cross shows us how much He loved us. The resurrection shows how much power He has. He says, He has conquered death. Oh grave, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting? It's no longer there because of the resurrection. He has raised Him from the dead. The power of Jesus Christ is the means today. He can make you alive. And so when you have those days you feel dead, you can remember, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Because God has raised Him from the dead. He has seated Him at His right hand in heavenly places. He has exalted Christ. You want to find power in your life? Start exalting Christ with your life each and every day. Find ways to glorify Him in your life each and every day, and you will start to see the power of Christ. When I see that He's seated at the right hand, that's an acknowledgement of knowing who He is and who He is in relation into us. Because I guarantee you, I'm not there. I got a long way to go. I got imperfections, but He's seated at the right hand of God. And when I put my life in exalting that, then I can see the power of Christ work in it. We see this in the Old Testament. You see it in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they stand before the king, and the king is telling them to bow down and worship Him, they said, oh, we're not careful, king. We don't have to think about this answer right now. Because whether He saves us or He doesn't, He's still the king. And I'm going to follow Him. And what happens? The king looks in the furnace. And there's not three, but there's four. And the fourth looks like the Son of God. You want the power of Christ working on your life? Exalt Him. Put Him at the right hand of the Son of God. Too many times we want to put on the shirt that says, Jesus is my homeboy, when Jesus is the Son of God. And we need to exalt Him. And we need to understand that He is there and He is Lord. And because of that, we allow Him to have that authority. He gives all those descriptions that above all rule, authority, power, dominion, above every name that is named. He gives all that. And then He says, and He put all things under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church. This idea of head over the church, this has given us the idea that He has put Christ in a position of victory. He is the head. All things are under His feet. It's an allusion to Psalm, the Psalms where He says He will make His enemies His footstool. And so we see that all this victory that we see wrapped up in Christ, this power that's wrapped up in Christ, He is the head over all things to the church. To those who know Him as personal Lord and Savior, understand that this power comes when you say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I need You to forgive me of my sins, to come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. And when we know Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have that victory because He is the head, and all these other things He is going to take care of. He's the victor. And we want to employ that power of Christ. When we do, it overcomes despair. Because when we rest in His power, it's no longer about how strong we are. And we understand that He has the power. You know what? Our strength is very limited. I find that out more and more every day. The things I think I can do, I can't do like I used to. You know, your backs give out. Your knees give way. Your shoulders ache. Your power is limited, but His isn't. And we can employ that power to overcome the despair of this world. Paul says, listen, He's given all this. Employ that power of Christ. Because when we do, we can go deep. Don't go on the surface. Don't scratch just on top and just to see just the little bit and just dabble and just play with all these different things about Christ. Go deep. Because I guarantee you, it's rewarding. It's worth your time. It is worth your investment to enlarge the knowledge of Christ in your life. To make that relationship more intimate, to be more knowledgeable, wherever you might be in your walk, we all can enlarge our knowledge of Jesus Christ. You see, the mentality should be go deep, but this morning I want you to change that to grow deep, because you have won big in Jesus Christ. Grow deep, because you have won big. Deep and depth speak of substance. Is your walk with Christ something of substance this morning? Or is it just scratching the surface? You know, Paul would write this. This would be his prayer here for the Ephesians. And something happens. The human experience happens. And they begin to get away from it, right? In Revelation chapter 2, we see a letter that Jesus sends to the church at Ephesus. In Revelation chapter 2, in verse 2, he says, I know your works. Speaking of the church of Ephesus, I know your works, your toil and your patient endurance, how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. He says, listen, you've done a good job. You've weeded out. You're able to designate and discern. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake. And you have not grown weary. He says, I know your works. I know that you're working. I know that you're doing it tirelessly. You've been doing it for years. You've been doing the work for years. You've been singing the praises for years. You've been teaching a Sunday school class for years. You've been coming to church for years. But you know what he says next? But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you, remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Regardless of the works that we might do on the surface, Jesus wants us to go deep. That regardless of what we have done in the past, and regardless of all the works that we put together, just like Paul says here, I want you to have the eyes of your heart enlightened. I want you to go deep. Because depth means substance. And let the people see your faith in Jesus Christ. Let them see the love toward all the saints. When you grow deep, because you have won big. Shall we stand? Just right there with your heads bowed. Can I ask you if Paul himself were standing here and he was reading this letter of his prayer for the church, and he gets to that point of having that spirit of wisdom and of revelation there in your life, that you might know Him, for that knowledge of Him. Can I ask you, would it prick your heart? How is your knowledge of Him? Is it intimate today? Or is it just on the surface? Or maybe even it's not what it used to be. The time, circumstances, different things have gotten in the way. And this morning you need to open the eyes of your heart for His enlightening. This morning, this passage is for us. It's for this moment in time for us to evaluate, to see what are we going to do with the Word of God this morning? What are we going to do with this message from Paul? Maybe you need to have a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ this morning. And I'd love to show you how to ask Him to forgive you of your sins, to come into your life personally, be your Savior. And in just a moment, we're going to sing. This altar is going to be open again for prayers. But if you need to know Him and make it personal, step out. Meet me down here. The distance between you and the front is not as far as the distance as heaven is to hell. And do not let it get in the way of you coming to know Christ personally today. And if you know Christ personally, how are you enlarging? How are you growing deep? Because there's so much more than the surface. There's so much more to continue to learn and to grow. We just need to be challenged. So I want to encourage you, if you're challenged this morning to grow deep, come to an altar and tell Him. Ask Him to remove the distractions, the things between Him and you, and tell Him, I want to get deeper. But as we come to this time in response, may we respond to the Word of God with trembling. Our Father, work now as only You can. This time is Your time. And God, may You use it for Your honor and Your glory. May our hearts be open right now. And Lord, enlighten them with Your Spirit. Help us to listen. Help us to obey. For it's in Your name we pray.